You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Henshaw and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Thank you so much for joining us today. What a terrific guest we have. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and as we start, I am so excited that Adam H. Board of Franklin County is sponsoring our series on improving Indigenous mental health for us all. And our guest today is really making a difference in his community and beyond. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
Hello, my name is Talon Fosden. I'm a rap artist and beat maker.
It's wonderful to have you here today. Thank you for joining us.
Wopita, for having me. Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, you've always supported my work and what I do. I'm really grateful for that and the platform.
Well, we are grateful for you and the way that you're touching the lives of our youth and you're putting your music out there. And so I want to ask you, when someone asks you what you do, how do you describe what you do?
It's difficult. That's a tough one because I don't really see myself as anything, and I create music and I assist others with creating their music, and I work in specific organizations doing certain temporary programs and contracts here and there, but I just kind of keep it general and just say my work's with music. It used to be with psychology directly in terms of studying it in college and kind of doing some social work out there, more so in Philly than South Dakota, actually. But, over the years, I've just kind of grown into doing more of the music work. And hopefully the psychology background that I have and the things that have been taught to me from people in that field show in my work. That's really it in a nutshell.
I'm interested in how your past has gone from psychology to music and all that you're doing. Can you share with us some of your journey?
Yeah. I explained this to somebody recently too, because the same question came up, and really I guess what it was that music has kind of always been there. I didn't really consider that till recently. I don't think I realized it, but you know, I do have uncles on both sides of my family and aunts on both sides of my family who, regardless of whether they released anything or you know have done anything mass media landscape, regardless of that, you know, they've been involved in either singing ceremony songs or hymns, even Dakota hymns, powwow music, some were involved in rock and country and guitar and stuff like that. My own cousins that I grew up around, you know, all had done that sort of thing. So I guess really, you know, just being kind of a kid that was not necessarily a loner, but I was to myself a lot. I kind of gravitated towards just kind of being at my place and to myself even as a young kid. And going through whether things were good or bad in life, I think that the music was always something that I wanted to do and that I envisioned myself doing. But I think, and this isn't to like take a stab at education, but I think that there were some things in some of the schools that I was going to that were, at least for me, making it seem like that wasn't realistic, or that, you know, there's not a way to be creatively, financially stable if you work hard enough, if you choose that route, right? Mm-hmm. So in when I was applying for college and everything, I went the psychology route because really that was the only other thing that I kind of knew. Mm-hmm. I admired my dad a lot for the fact that he went off and got a PhD in clinical psychology, and regardless of, you know, however he followed his path, he specifically had the intention of taking lesser paying jobs back home, because he didn't have like financial loans with IHS specifically or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But he could have paid that back anyway through any, you know, way he could have. He wasn't limited to that, but he specifically chose tribal programs specifically from his home because that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to help people, and he understood the traumatic things that go on. I think we all do.
Mm-hmm.
Without getting too far into it, but you know, I admired his, like, in some cases, selflessness and why he chose that sort of thing. And he even told me, you know, as preparation, when he knew that I was going for a bachelor's in psychology, that I should prepare myself to receive, be okay if you really want to do like what I'm trying to do. He said, you know, be okay with receiving little to nothing, be okay with giving things up, be okay with looking pitiful in the eyes of other people, even when you're not, be okay with, you know, letting go of your ego and not making it about mm-hmm. you, and not looking for a thank you even from people, let alone money. He said, I can make $500 an hour giving somebody therapy, but where would that be and who would that be for?
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, our people can't afford that. It's ridiculous to think that. He said, so, you know, what am I supposed to do? Go out there and benefit, you know, not that they don't need help, but benefit, you know, people that I don't know or have a communal attachment to, or to our people who clearly have been targeted, and if anything, this is the sort of thing that keeps them from receiving good health care or good mental health care. And so I looked up to that, and I think throughout working with music, I was finding that you know, even though music was always on the side, I would do whatever I could to do well in high school and not get under anybody's skin, or hopefully not. On the side, I would do music. And then when I got to college, I was doing it now, like self-producing. And then I was doing that radio show. I had you on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there were things going on outside of my classes and sometimes mixed in with my classes that just kind of spoke things to me that I actually really did need to hear, which were, you know, I don't need to categorize these things. I can live more fluidly, and that I can get, kind of like I said before, I can get creative with how I quote unquote hustle things or make things work, not just for me, but to this goal that my dad instilled in me, which was, you know, don't just worry about yourself, you know. And I'm trying to figure out ways to do that, you know, not just worry about myself. If I'm doing a solo album that has no features in it, how can I collaborate still with people either inside or outside of my medium? If I'm doing a song or an album that will have features, you know, how do I not just involve the ones I've been working with who already know that, you know, I have love for them, but how do I extend my hand out and not just get the person who's going to like give me a buzz or a shine or vice versa, but somebody regardless of their stature who you know, sounds cool to me and like I would want to work with them, or our goals align, or our ethics or morale or how we walk or carry is similar in some ways. You know, I've related with a lot of people, not just Indigenous people, throughout my life, because, you know, I'm just lucky to meet a lot of people. And I always just want to honor that whole thing of sharing and holding space together, even though I'm like a pretty to myself guy. You know, I'm even socially awkward in some cases, but I enjoy sharing things with different people, especially in the realm of like music and community work.
Thank you so much for sharing all of that with us. I really admire your decisions and your choices for your life. And I think we can all learn a lot from your perspective. I'm interested in sort of the, I don't know if it's a dichotomy, but you described yourself as possibly a loner, or maybe, you know, someone who can be socially awkward, even though we think you're wonderful here at this show. and yet music is really public. I mean, people are listening, yeah. they comment, they have opinions. I mean, it's really putting yourself out there. How does that feel?
Oh, it's terrible. It's horrible. I hate it. You know what the most like divine time for me, and I try my hardest to get this into the heads of those who ask me for advice, the younger guys who ask me for advice about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they're excited about the release date and what people are going to say and think. And I get excited about that too, you know, like the good things that come or that we hope will come, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the actual divine feeling is when I finish all of the masters after having gone through like 7 to 10 mixes that I've like switched, you know, the volume levels of different things just like by the minuscule decibel, and have it to where I like it. And then I sit in my studio, I turn majority of the lights off except for like a couple of the ones that glow a bit. And on my screen, I put up like, if that album was inspired by a certain film or type of thing that I was seeing in my head. I try to look for like a something on YouTube to play on my screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I play it muted. Then I pull up the album that I've been working on, and I just listen to it by myself in my studio, like I said, with all the lights dim. And I listen to it, and I kind of hit that moment where I'm not critiquing it anymore, and I'm just kind of enjoying it, and finally, like, in seeing the album that I've tried to make firstly for myself, because I feel like if I do that, even though it's selfish and it kind of goes against like these things I've been talking about of like trying to think of others and all of that, I feel like if I'm selfish in my music and how I make it and how I celebrate it and how I anticipate it, then I'm hitting at something that's more real to myself, and that's probably what I should be bringing to my music as a rap artist, is my most real self. I feel like that's what's going to benefit people who are trying to get something out of music the most, or who are looking for a certain thing. Not that I give that or that I'm even trying to give that. I'm just trying to, again, go to just the real me. So it sucks to like release it, because it is the real me, and I even agree to like, which goes against like what you assume a lot of rappers are supposed to be, which is like really ego driven and, you know, bragging and boasting. But I kind of kick myself in the leg a lot in my music and just put some of my more real truth out there. In the past, I've talked about truths that have affected me, or like things that have happened to me that might have involved others. I really don't do that anymore, and I've taken all that music down. Really, I think it's more about the experience, the feeling, and like the spirit of of what I'm doing, how I'm walking, and what I'm going through, and not making it so much about everybody else anymore, but about me in a way that's like vulnerable and showing my spirit like that. So it sucks, but I feel like that's the only way I can do this right, because I listen to the people I look up to and the strong statements they've made in like native hip hop or rap, if that's what we want to call it, or just rap in general. The artists who I look up to the most or who I listen to, you know, sometimes they're saying things that I know for some people, it's like, you know, it's one thing to rap it and say it, but like you do have to answer for what you say and what you do. And people know right off the gate as soon as they meet you, as soon as you talk to them, is this really the person I've been listening to? Or is this a voice that they put on when they go in the booth? That, and regardless of if it is, the voice is different, but more so like, is the attitude the same? Is that really who that person is? And so I just try to be that, even though, you know, like I said, like we've been talking about, yeah, I am a little to myself. I try to be, you know, a people pleaser and stuff like that. And I think that's why, you know, I stay in a lot more, because it drains me to have that anxiety or hope people are entertained by things, or that I'm not like a stick in the mud or something.
I really appreciate your insights, and I think they're helping a lot of us. I was thinking about one time when someone, a reporter, was interviewing me and said, oh, it just looked like it was so much fun to write books and make films and model and do music, and it just looked like a really fun life. And I said, well, it is, but only because it worked. You know, it's like,
yeah,
I mean, it's only fun because I won a Nammy, or because these great things have happened to me as a result. It wouldn't be as much fun if it was just miserable and wretched. And so I think it's interesting so often that we don't look at this side that you're describing of what we do, you know. And I appreciate you giving us a perspective and a window into music, the production, the performance, and then, of course, the reception of it. So,
oh, yeah, of course.
You know, how do you, because I know you mentor young people as they begin their music career. And so what are some of the lessons that you learned along the way that you wish you had known when you were starting out?
I think probably the biggest lesson and this is just for me to me,
mm-hmm.
you know, older me to younger me,
mm-hmm.
it's, and this is relating to what I talked about before, but the intention that I have when I make my music, it's always been, like I said, to kind of show, you know, regardless of what I say or what the song's about, it's not something that I'm forcing or that kind of rushing or doing just to do, or because I believe it'll be successful or for any ulterior motive.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to releasing, because like when you do that, and this is kind of, I think, why it's hard for some people to do that.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that and you look for those production and those beats or the things that, instead of what will be like trending or popular or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but those things that you really like and that you just believe in,
mm-hmm.
you're putting that out there to the people. And if they reject it, it kind of makes you feel like you're more alone in the world, not just on your like, oh, this album didn't do good, but of, man, I really thought this was good and people are saying it's not good. So not only am I questioning my self-worth of my music, but I'm questioning my own perspective of what I think good. But the problem with that is you're basing that off of other people and societal
right.
norms that often don't attribute to us anyway.
Right.
You know, and the quote-unquote determinants of success are also social-based, social constructs of
mm-hmm.
things that, you know, back in the day, if we put it, and I always try to put things, Oscar Howe. I'm learning more about him. And one thing I really appreciate about what I'm hearing about the intention of his work was that he was trying to make a Dakota aesthetic, meaning his intention with the art was to display spiritual truths that he felt were real in his mind, not in anybody else's mind, but just how he felt about a specific truth or belief that he had about spirituality or how he saw things and how he wanted to transmute that spirit of Dakota aesthetic into the art. Not an indigenous aesthetic or a pan-indigenous aesthetic, but one that's specific to him and his upbringing and style and everything. Mm-hmm. And when I look back on that, you know, in the time that he created that, he must have had a lot of like pushback and at times faced, you know, either hate or jealousy or rejection, not only by, you know, other people or people focusing on the wrong thing or not getting it, but also fellow artists at the time maybe having, you know, issues and things like that. And I say all of that because I feel like if I have a Dakota, Lakota mindset for someone else, it might be of their tribe or of what works for them.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's this Dakota mindset I try to have of, you know, I see it this way. These albums for me are like my dreams, like my movies that I've made from things that I've saw in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to make people see and feel that. But if they don't, I have to remember that, like, since it is my dream and my vision, you know, when it comes to those things, not everybody's supposed to understand that. Not everybody's supposed to immerse themselves in the reality you're trying to construct, because everybody's perceiving their own thing. Everybody's going through their own trauma or processing their own pain. So I can't get mad or be upset when, quote unquote, an album flops or something doesn't work. Because after, you know, it's been 10 years now since I produced my first self-produced album.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember at the time, it did pretty well. Like, it, you know, people liked it and supported it. But when I listen to the music, it's nothing that I ever listen to ever again. I'm not that big of a fan of it. But if you go to this other project that I released in, like, 2015, that was like my brainchild at the time, and I felt like that was my magnum opus, and it didn't get really much of anything at all. But at the end of the day, that thing stuck out to me, and what the very few people had said about it in private to me about it stuck with me and still sticks with me to this day. The little things I get from these things that plant the small seeds to grow something bigger that I can create later, so long as I focus on it and water it and fertilize those little things, those little seeds that come to me of, you know, maybe this project didn't do as well as I think it did, but I really liked this idea or this experience or this part of it that happened. So let me work around that more for the next one, or let me, you know, think about how I can go at this again, instead of thinking like, man, now I gotta work on a whole another one and it's gonna take a whole other year, and thinking about things like that. I just rather think of like enjoying, like I said, the creating and then the self-receiving of it. And if those other things come, like, you know, I get family members and close friends after years of, you know, listening to me, or my fans, or if that's what I call them, or supporters, or really relatives. For what little I do get of that, I cherish it, you know. And, but if it doesn't come, I just kind of maintain it and focus on the idea of it's for me, it's really just about creating the art and enjoying the experience and not focusing so much on expectation and kind of sometimes, you know, toxic expectation. You know, is that really the intention we should be going after these things with? And again, to go back to that Dakota mindset, if you're looking at things from how our ancestors did those things, they didn't do it for those things. They did it because, you know, it was a beautiful thing to do and they liked it. I try to just do that. And so I wish I could have told my younger self that, only for the fact that I would have enjoyed the moments more,
mm-hmm.
instead of worrying and stressing out. I would have enjoyed just, you know, doing what I'm doing and living my life, instead of feeling like things are either a success or a failure. Because to live so on such a binary like that just seems really depressing to me now in retrospect.
Yeah. Yes, I can hear that. And I thank you for bringing that viewpoint to us, because even when I was pursuing my MFA, they talked about the fact that writing or art or music would make you immortal, and that you wouldn't know enough to judge in your lifetime. And I think about so many of the musicians, right, who, you know, made $20 for blues recordings that we now consider classic masterpieces, or people whose novels never were a critical success in their lifetime, and now they're part of the canon academically. So I wonder if, you know, we don't know enough to judge what success or failure really is. I mean, if one person listens to your music and feels understood and supported, that to me is a tremendous success, even though, you know, it might not be enough plays on Spotify to go out for ice cream or something. And I wonder if we need to change as a culture, the arts and entertainment industry. We need to start self-defining and becoming sovereign in what we feel is our success.
Right. And I think that's why, like, you know, truth is always necessary, even when it's uncomfortable, because sometimes you see, like, a couple of these, you know, music documentaries or biopics that sometimes, you know, glitz and glamour up parts that they see that would entertain people more or make things more exciting,
mm-hmm.
In exchange for, you know, concealing, you know, not necessarily lying even, but even concealing truths that are a bit harder to swallow for people who are looking up to these sorts of things for maybe, you know, what isn't the reasons that will make them most happy, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, I get some people who approach me sometimes who I feel like are focused on the biopic that's going to be about them before they've even
mm-hmm.
written the first song.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done that too as a kid. I did that every waking day of my life, of just thinking about music and being a musician and being regarded like that or accepted by peers, because we all kind of have our own way of wanting to be accepted by those who either came before us or who are there with us. But I think it's exactly as you said about, you know, we don't know if people 100 years from now are going to be into some of the things that we're creating today.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, you know, I always talk to, when I was teaching high school students through the TRIO program, I would do these like little ethnomusicology lessons on like Buddy Redbow
how
mm-hmm. his work related to the American Indian movement, but also some of the hard truths that were in there
mm-hmm.
of, you know, they weren't perfect themselves either, and here's, you know, everything that they did, but here's how Buddy's music reflects all of that and can actually paint the picture, and how, in my opinion, years and years from now, maybe even not that soon or not that far away, there's going to be, you know, educational texts out there once the education system is fully decolonized or just different. There's one day going to be history lessons about those things in completely different perspectives than what we see today. And through that, they're going to have to dig up, you know, certain things or scavenge, you know, different internets or dark webs or whoever archived these things, if they are archived, and the other forms of media that are out there that have Buddy Redbow's music on there, that have people's music that came out at that time,
mm-hmm.
that help show you, you know, what people were into, what people were thinking, what they were going through, because because, you know, as lonely as musicians may feel, they're telling stories that everybody experiences.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the beauty of it all is, like, for me, I always liked Buddy Rebo from when I was in high school, and I first heard him from, like, I think the teacher was playing a VHS that had him on it. But I never owned an album. I never heard more than two songs, right? And for the longest time in college, I would look up Buddy Rebo Live on, like, YouTube, and I couldn't find anything. And now, years and years later, I believe this was late last year, I think it was the South Dakota Public Broadcasting put out this special that he did. And he had a full, like, TV special that he did where it's filmed in the Black Hills and almost looks like it's nearing, like, Bear Butte or somewhere near there. And he's in this, like, very vibrant, green, grassy, like, plain next to a big hill. And he's got a feather in his hat and, you know, he's dressed to the nines and he's just there singing his songs. And then telling the stories that relate the songs to each other in between them. And then there's little, like, cuts and certain things that happen. And lo and behold, one of the producers of it is, you know, she, I think is, I'm totally sorry if I'm butchering the name or getting it completely wrong. But I believe she works with Indian Country today. So, you know, I was like, oh, wow, that's so interesting. And then I watched the whole show and I'm like in tears because I'm such a fan and I've always just wanted to, like, wished I could have been in that time and sat there on the grass and listened to it. But through this video, I could, like, you know, connect in that way. And it just gets you kind of hopeful because if you connect to something that was so long ago, mm-hmm. you know, that aired twice, it only aired twice. On SDPB, it says it was scheduled for two airings and they were months apart. So if you can imagine, you know, how he must have felt to put all of that time and energy into the songs and how it's going to be put together, talking with people and explaining mm-hmm. to them what you want for your TV special. And then it airs twice.
Yeah.
And right, then after right. that, you know, people can't find it again unless if they recorded it on VHS and it gets shared around and maybe it was. Mm-hmm. But me, generation later, you know, as nearing adulthood or pretty much in adulthood, barely able to find that, you know, in today's time. Mm-hmm. That gives you the perspective of then what you're doing and how that might affect other people. Not that that's even like the goal either, but it gives me place of solace to feel like, well, if something doesn't do good today, maybe yeah. there is something that's going to go on in 50 years or so that some other person is going to feel this feeling that I felt watching mm. Buddy Rebo. And that's hard for me to ever fathom because he, to me, is such a, like, an icon and mm. and just a brilliant musician. But in a non-egocentric, egotistical way, you know, it at least helps me to not feel like my music isn't just all for nothing or that it's based on, you know, reception in the present time or even in my lifetime.
Yes.
Oh,
that's
I can just create
amazing.
And be.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. That is amazing. Oh, wow. I'm having a real moment of clarity because of what you just said. We have to go to commercial, but when we come back, I want to talk about your new project and tell folks how to get it and everything that you want to share with us. So, folks, we'll be right back, and this conversation will continue.
Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back once the world forgave you.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had an oil shortage. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Jeff. I'm Tia. And I'm Heather. And we are Three Voices.
You want this drum over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs supposed to hear it. So who hear the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com, click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions, like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presence, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Extinction is forever. To save America's most iconic and imperiled species from extinction, we must fight for their future. Fight to save the natural lands that wildlife call home. Fight to limit pollution. Fight for smart development. Fight for their future. And fight for ours. For so goes nature, so goes us.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go?
To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit PeaceCorps.gov.
We appreciate all of you who listen to this show. We appreciate our sponsors. We appreciate our network. We appreciate our guests, all of you who share on social media, who listen and download. Thank you so much for making this conversation possible. Our guest today is amazing. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Hello, my name is Talon Fosda. I'm a rap artist and a beat maker.
I get to congratulate you on something new. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Daku Shni. It releases March 5th. Not to give too much away, but there's going to be the album that releases March 5th, and then 5 days later on March 10th, potentially March 9th, another piece of it will come out, so to speak. And Daku Shni is a Dakota term that means, or Ocheti Shakoi, in full term, that means nothing or nobody. Like, Daku is like what, and Shni is the opposite or the negation. So it's kind of like of nothing. When I was, you know, around a lot of my other uncles and stuff in Dakota territory, they would say stuff like that, like how Tunkashila Ikche Mielo and Dakushni Mielo. So, you know, to creator or whoever they're talking to or introducing themselves to, they would say Ikche Mielo, which means I'm a common person. I'm no better or greater than anybody else. And Dakushni kind of implies that you're trying to make yourself into nothing. Like, you're trying to not be like nobody, like you're good for nothing, but nobody in the sense that other people take preference before you, before your needs and before your desires. Meaning, like, you're not you don't consider yourself like a big protector or a defender or any kind of like special title. It's just Daku Shni. I'm nobody. I'm here if you need me. You know, I'm don't worry about me. Don't worry if I get hurt. Don't worry if anything happens. This is who I am. I'm no better or greater than anybody else. Mm-hmm. And I'm no lesser than anybody else either. So it's like a stronger statement. And kind of like a dedication. I talked about this to Rage Janice, also known as Rage Rock Boy, who he's a legend in South Dakota rap in general. He used to do this group called Native Empire, First Fellas, Hooligans, and a really great artist, you know, who I've collaborated with since 2013. And over the past, like, I want to say 4 years or 3 years, I'm not sure how long for him, but I know he's been doing visual art for the longest anyway, but he's been getting more into visual arts recently. So I approached him to do the cover because I knew his style and what he knows is and experiences in life is similar to what I've gone through, and even just like the local artist era that we come from, of when our start was and when our primes were, you know, he was before me and I wasn't too long after him, but I had him to look up to when I came in, you know what I mean? So to also work with him was a big deal to me in that sense, because I've always respected his art. And I told him that, you know, just as I said what Daku Shni is, and he knows that meaning, but I was telling him I almost see it as like this superhero I'm making up. And then not necessarily a superhero, but like an anti-hero, almost like one you would see like in Taxi Driver or Clear Cut. Heroes that aren't necessarily heroes, but they're everyday people who are going through something and going through thoughts and going through corruption and going through toxicity and how they work through it. And I felt like, you know, those movies, for those who are searching for that sort of thing, they really do fulfill, like, at least when I watched them, I was feeling like upset with, you know, the corruption going on. I was upset with, you know, when you watch Clear Cut, it's, you know, these lumber companies tearing down, you know, forests that native people are fighting for. And there's, you know, lawmakers who don't even care about the land making, you know, huge decisions on what they're going through currently and what they can or can't do and what they have to put up with. The feelings I felt when Graham Greene comes on, his figure on the movie, the feelings of like when he stands up to people and when he's tough and when he's terrifying and when he scares people on purpose or messes with people, all of those things, it was just like a cathartic, like I felt like I exhaled a bit, you know. And when I watched Taxi Driver, I feel like some people who feel that way in other perspectives, you kind of feel the same thing. And I thought, well, you know, in terms of the music I want to make something that makes me feel like I exhaled a bit and got stuff off of my chest that was really just on my mind. And that's Daku Shni, really, is this anti-hero who's living through this troubled life, and he's seeing people suffer, he's seeing animals suffer, he's seeing plants suffer, he's seeing people feel bad and sad and upset, and he's tired of it, and he doesn't know what to do other than just be his nobody self, to be who he is, and finding these through extreme means, not necessarily just actions, but lessons and hard thoughts and difficult emotions and difficult traumas to process through, but also strong defiances and the repercussions of those things. All of that, in terms of the energies that it has, that's what the album features, is those feelings, those like the diatribes of that, the manifesto of what that person's going through and what they're feeling. So I tapped in a lot to a lot of, you know, like the lonerism of myself, and I didn't produce any of the beats on this, which is a first for me.
Since
I started. So I really just focused on finding the right sounds that showed this picture and played the beats that I like, and included samples. Like, there's a lot of VHS samples throughout it. Of different movies, and some of them are like ones like, you know, Clear Cut, that are perhaps non-native made but feature native actors or creative. Some that are more native created, like Skins or Smoke Signals, and then ones that are completely non-native created, non-native based, like appropriative. But I sampled those even to make them work for me. Like I tried to possess those samples of, like, you know, people who are dressing up as Indians and making them work for what the song needed, almost like as my own little, you know, on the production side, my own little, like, defiance back of, you know, you took something from us, now I'm going to take something from you, and that's your voice and your interpretation of what we are, and I'm just going to edit it just a little bit to make it work for what I really feel, and I'm who you're trying to emulate, because I'm one of them. And since I'm one of them, you know, it's like any of us, all of us have that right to be, I feel, justifiably, healthfully angry, and to act in a loving way always, and to speak with grace and to speak with mindfulness, But at the same time, to allow ourselves to process that anger, to allow ourselves to process that bitterness, and not to feel guilty for it, not to feel upset to the point of depression about it, but to just acknowledge it and move on. Because I feel like going at it with the Dakota mindset, that was what our grandma had tried to teach us, was that there's going to be ikdomis and spiders and things around you that are going to try to bite you, because that's their job. That's what they're supposed to do. That's what they're made there for. Instead of questioning it and trying to immerse yourself in suffering over it and for it more than you need to, take the medicine that you need to from it and just grow stronger and be proud of those things that happen, because even if you failed, you're stronger for it. And I'm always trying to speak that anyway, because that's how I feel. I feel like I failed a lot in my life. And so these things are what I have to hold on to and feel more victorious with, because those failures in some way, shape, or form brought me the music.
Wow. How do we hear this music? No, this is amazing. I mean, everything you have told us just now and all throughout our visit today really makes me excited for what this music will sound like and everything that goes with it. So how do we hear the music? How do we hear the new release? How do we hear what you've already done? How do we, you know, everything you're saying just makes me really want to hear this new project and beyond.
Yeah, for sure. I hope people listen to it. They can get it March 5th at, probably the best place to look would be bazTK.com for any updates or things like that. But otherwise, it's going to be on all platforms. If people go to my website and follow the Bandcamp page, at some point there's going to be a special physical release that it's not a CD or what you may think. It's a, I don't know if you know the plastic rave cases that used to go over the VHSs back in the day, the ones that are more like a booklet, a plastic booklet.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
We're going to have those, and they're going to encase cassette tapes that are actually USBs. So they're USB sticks that look like cassettes. If you buy one, you'll get, you know, the any video that's been made up to that point of release that comes with the album. You'll get, of course, both sides of the album, and then you'll get a little art booklet inside that features the artwork of Ray Drock, who did the cover, also a foreword from him that talks about the cover. He has a really amazing story to go with it, and also some advertisements of people who have contributed to this project or helped raise funds for it or helped you know, with music or in the future clothing. Like Trap Teepee and Lakota Skateboarding 605 and Ground Control 605. So just be on the lookout for that. Again, BAZTK, March 5th. And otherwise, I'm on social media. Everything is BazilleDX, BAZILLEDX, Instagram, Facebook. I'm not on Twitter, but I am on TikTok. Mostly you'll just see me posting like beats that I'm making or previews to the songs that I'm creating. You could hear a whole album like a year before it releases looking at my page if you're lucky.
Oh, wow.
Then I'll take it down. Then I take it down. But for the few who see it, they see it.
Your transparency and authenticity and your willingness to open your life and your music to your listeners and my listeners is always a blessing to me. I'm really glad that you were here today, and we're going to close out the show with some of your music. And so I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today, and congratulations on this wonderful, wonderful new release.
Thank you very much, Wopila, and thank you for having me on again. I really appreciate the support and the encouragement of, you know, going on with the music. You know, especially you doing what you've done, so, and what you do currently. So, you know, thank you.
Thank you. You're so welcome, and we appreciate you. We appreciate all of you who make this show possible, who listen to this show, who are kind to us. If you've ever done anything kind to us, anytime, thank you. You didn't have to do it, but you did. And just know that we are grateful. We're thankful. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I can't wait. Until next time. See you then.
No. Did they shut us off?
This is one of the houses today that got their meter pulled because they couldn't pay their bill. As you can see, the electric company was here. While they left the house, they threw the slip, the payment slip there on the floor. They just took the meter with not even letting anybody know.
Right next to another, zombies on the block like winter's coming. As the tongue and hell, my poverty has got me functioning. Can't keep a steady diet when you're suffering. Mind stays struggling, always catching up to things. Woke up feeling like I may always be behind. No matter how many times I work hard for things and redefine, I'm just on the same road, reading every sign. Old days, way young, holding every dime. Now I'm blowing way quarters in half the time. Pray to all the slain and heroes on a massive shrine. Sage smoke bellowing to ancestors in the sky. Playing verbal hand games when planning out the cash play. Inspired by bad brains, but smashing on the rap stage. We used to chop with Beatcraft and Sony Acid. Free trials all the while till I had to have it. Hustled harder, chose equipment over many mattresses. You can never say that I ain't passionate. Descended of those who made the army step back a bit. Never been pros, just those who had to step it up. All of my soul was told it has to measure up. Day after day till I had to break from ignorance. Now I can smell the vibes like distant skunks. Even when I was chopped down rich with tree trunks. Got me feeling like Graham Greene and clear cut.
I'm an inventor. And I have a story to tell. Nobody's got a story like this one.
Doctor's name. Picture me rolling in the 93 Cavalier, living quite hopeless. Portrait I just had to snip, but never was in focus. Sacrifice to make it here, live to be homeless. Or die with the chandelier. Like why I gotta pick and choose with excess. La Jota me alone, I don't need to backtrack. I listened to my grandma and they laughed at it. Now I'm the one feeling bad looking back at it. They said I made mistakes, but they taught me things. Dreams brought me beats that brought me round the screen. My mixtapes never sounded clean. Never put my all into it because of the doubt in me. But best believe, I wrap my ass off. Party homes and prairie visions as my backdrop. Got it on a laptop, praying to the rap god. Slides gliding so wide, call me Rap Sasquatch. I make the music that they can't drop. To me it's nothing, just an everyday ham high. Never even had it hooked with the padlock. I just persevered on the very grounds that I stand on. I ain't the man, duh. I ain't no one in the standoff. Never could be another reservation mascot. Still, I get it shaking here like a camp pop. Came from nothing and I can't stop. Came from nothing. I ain't trying to be something special. It's my mental polish and rust. I'm nobody. Not trying to be a chief. I ain't nobody. I could only be me. Came from nothing. I ain't trying to be something special. It's my mental polish and rust that I am nobody. Not trying to be a chief, I ain't nobody. I could only be me, I ain't nobody. I ain't nobody. I ain't nobody. I ain't nobody. I could only be me.
No, 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 no. You can't watch that. Put that, stop that. Put that away now. Gee, your mom's gonna get mad.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Let her really big it on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back once the war forgave.
You've got the power, the world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.